day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You have washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You have washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, realize meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. And it's joy, perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will see. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You have washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day. Happy day, you have washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way. Glorious name. Hey.
every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Noise in our lives today grabs our attention. Visually, things trying to grab our eyes away from what's real and what's right. Things said and spoken to us either by people that we know or from social media or the television. Trying to distract us to what's right and what's true. So sometimes we just have to close our eyes and close our ears and listen for that still small voice that's speaking and whispering to our heart. I remind you that anything that takes you away from what's biblical or that's degrading to you as a person, thoughts that are cast to your mind, those are not from the Lord. The enemy wants to tear you down, wants to break you down and whisper lies into your mind and your heart, plant seeds of deceiving thoughts, and confusion. We do not serve a God that's a God of confusion. If you have any of these things being thrown at you, if you're at home or here, that is not of the Lord. Just cry out to Him. Close your mind to those things being yelled at you and just open up your heart. Just hear what God has to say to you today.
Touching every heart, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart, I worship you, I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Working, you never stop working.
You're the source of my strength, the source of my being, and I will put my trust in you. I will keep my fears to you. You're the source of my being. And I will put my trust in you.
Father, would you be with us now as we dig into your word a little bit more again this morning? Would you use these words to just minister to our hearts and our minds, to encourage us, to help us and allow us to grow closer to you, become more mature, and to become the people that you indeed want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do hope you all had a very Merry Christmas just a couple of days ago. I'm sure it was much different than it has been in the past, and yet I hope you celebrated the birth of our Savior and had a very blessed day. Can you believe that it's come and gone yet again? It's behind us already. I mean, we were just thinking about and counting down and anticipating the arrival of that child, and now it's part of the past yet again. And a past, a year filled with a past that probably was not too exciting for us to think about. Certainly it's been a year like we've never lived through before, and probably, Lord willing, won't have to endure again. Exactly. Thinking about all of this makes me realize that we still need to hang on to Christmas a little more. It shouldn't be something we just celebrate for a day and then forget about it, right? It shouldn't just be pushed off into the past as we do so many other things. So this morning, we're going to continue to talk about our little journey through Advent. We're going to talk about expectation and our focus and where our eyes should be cast, because we want to continue to reflect on Christ's coming. His first coming, that Christmas morning when that beautiful baby was born in that manger. But we also want to focus on the coming yet to occur, when He returns and fulfills that ultimate work of redemption in our lives. Each week as we walked through Advent, we focused on little different pieces or aspects of God's character, things that happened or were lived out in Jesus through His birth, things like hope and love, joy and peace. If you read biblically through the Christmas narrative, you see that it's a powerful story filled with wonder and miracles and how it affects real life. Jesus came to earth as the most wonderful gift any of us could ever receive for all eternity. As we walked through those various parts of the Christmas narrative, we explored how Jesus intersected with real live people and how those people played a role in His arrival to this earth. We have seen, as we looked at those people, we have seen how He brought that hope, love, joy and peace into their lives, and how He brings it into our lives still today. So for our time together this morning, we are going to kind of recap or review this whole Advent season that we've just been talking about, looking again at those highlights of the story and those that were involved in it, because we don't want to just say, oh, Christmas is over, Advent is done, wait till next year. We want to think about this all year long. The first thing we talked about was finding hope in our uncertainties. When uncertainties surround us, the promise of Christ should fill us with hope to carry on. Hope is the breath that keeps us alive. Hope is the fuel of our faith, the fuel of our dreams and possibilities. Hope is the whisper in your ear of maybe, just maybe, I can make it through this. It's the spark in that cold darkness that catches flame. It's the flicker of that first light in the morning. In the worst of sufferings and catastrophes of human history, there was always a remnant of hope. Think about it. Think about our history of our country. Think about the history of our world. Whether you're talking about enslavement or imprisonment or torture or tragedy, there has always been those who have clung to the smallest little piece of hope, and they have fanned that into a giant flame which brought survival and freedom and release in some way. Throughout the history of the Jewish people, there was always a hope in God's covenant. There was the promise of restoration and blessing through that promise of the Messiah. As time went on through their history, that nation was plundered. Its people were exiled. They were conquered. You know, their attitude began to change. They started thinking, how long, oh God? How long is this going to last? That was the cry of the ancient Israelites. Year after year, century after century, they would cry out in that way. But there was also the remnant that kept hope alive, living expectantly, living faithfully, trusting, obeying, believing that God would come through as He promised. We talked about a couple of them. Simeon and Anna, they were two who encountered Jesus right after His birth. They had lived long, difficult lives, lives of struggle. They had known loss. They had known disappointment. But they did not abandon hope. And when they saw baby Jesus, at just about 6 weeks old or so, in that temple, they knew without a doubt that He was the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of God. And they were ready, waiting for that moment to take place. And they embraced that moment with all the hope that they could possibly imagine. They were filled and started to rejoice because of the hope that was in their hearts. They worshiped and they spread the good news of that little baby that they had seen. And those flames that they began to fan into hope spread and multiplied to others. Do we fan our flame today so that our spark of hope continues to burn? That's exactly what we need as we look at the close of such a traumatic year. Take that hope, take that spark, and fan it into the flames that it should be. No matter what you're facing, no matter where you're at, hope this season is found in the coming of the Christ child. With the arrival of Emmanuel, God has come to restore that hope. He has given us the hope of salvation, the hope of restoration and healing, the hope of His continued work in this world and in our lives, the hope that one day will be complete when we are made whole. As we come humbly to worship Jesus, we can find the renewal of that hope within us. That strength takes the next step, helps us to take the next step forward so that we can carry on, so that we can press through no matter what lies ahead. Remember the hope that Christ has come and the hope that He is working out in our lives today, we can find written about in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope shouldn't just be a little flicker, but hope should overflow from our lives. Secondly, we talked about finding love in our differences. There is so much in our world that drives us apart, but the love of Christ runs deeper than any of those differences. It is the flood of grace and forgiveness and mercy that each and every one of us need. As people long to be loved, as the culture desires love and support and care. I mean, think about what you hear and what you see in regards to love. People want to be loved. They want to be encouraged. This particular time of year, we even have songs and movies and TV shows and everything else that are filled with the theme of love even more than they typically are. People long for it. They celebrate it. They desire it. We're captivated by that idea of love. And yet we struggle so badly to love each other as individuals. We want to talk about love, but we struggle to love each other. We have a culture that doesn't do well at showing the love that they so desire. We live in a nation that's divided by conflict and hatred. That's not showing the love that we so long for. Despite our best intentions, our broken human nature divides us. It causes conflict and problems. But Jesus, on the other hand, Jesus is the bridge of love that unites us, that brings us back together. He is the long-promised Messiah, sent purely because God is love and loves us. He wants to restore relationships, not just with each other, but more specifically, through Jesus, with the Father, so that we can be reunited with Him. Jesus' death and resurrection is what made that possible for us. It's through that that He restored that relationship with the Father so that we can experience love Himself. As we explored love in our journey through Advent, we saw just how God had gathered a varied group of very different people together, all to come and witness the birth of His Son and to worship Him. We discovered that several different people groups were represented there, and God probably didn't have anybody else to bring together that was so diverse as what He brought together. Think about it. There were young and old. There were the earthly and the heavenly. There were the lowly and the noble. There were Jews and Gentiles. There were the clean and the unclean. And ultimately, there was God and humanity. All that He brought together on one night for one occasion, the birth of His Son. As we remember Christmas, as we rediscover the love of Christ at Christmas, remember His love is the perfect love that allows us to experience and accept His forgiveness, His mercy, His grace, His repentance, His restoration. All that comes through His love. And as this love washes over us and fills us, it begins to overflow so that we can show others that love, so that we can humbly forgive and encourage and love others. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I pray for you, being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's love. Truly, that is love coming from the Father through the birth of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we talked about finding joy in our discouragements. Bottom line is, we all have those days. Some of us have weeks or months, or truthfully, even years. You know, we do struggle at different times throughout our lives. Even Christians, we're not exempt from those times of struggle and despair. I mean, Christ fills us. Christ gives us a joy that defies our circumstances, but we still struggle from time to time. King David, of course, wrote many of the Psalms, and one of them that he wrote was Psalm 30. And in verse 5 it says, "Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." So even though we have those moments, those times of despair, we are given this joy that defies our circumstances. Sometimes that night can feel so long. Sometimes it feels like it's so far out in the distance that we can't even comprehend it. Sometimes that joy finds its way into our hearts and erupts like Old Faithful we talked about a few weeks ago. It just bursts forth through our lives. Other times it's that slow rolling bubble making its way to the surface. But as we remember again at Christmas, we focus on the good news of great joy that is alive through Jesus Christ. And it's His joy that strengthens us, that sustains us, that renews us, even in the thick of it all. We saw joy exemplified in the stories of Elizabeth and Mary. They were both united together as they shared their miraculous pregnancies together. For Elizabeth, joy was the fulfillment of long-dashed dreams of motherhood. They were the erasure of cultural shame because she had never been able to bear a child. Her joy erased all that decades of despair and disgrace and probably frustration. For Mary, joy was the relief, the acceptance, the understanding and celebration of being in the middle of God's greatest miracle of all when she met Elizabeth and talked with her. She didn't have to explain herself. She didn't have to try to come up with a way to get Elizabeth to understand. Elizabeth knew. Imagine the joy that filled Mary's heart at that moment. Going forward, certainly Mary knew that she would face scorn and disbelief and misunderstanding. She would have to do her best to describe and explain her pregnancy to many, I'm sure. But as she talked with Elizabeth, all she cared about was the joy that surrounded her at that very moment. For some of us, Christmas is an incredible joy, an incredible time of year to celebrate and to be excited. For others, Christmas time serves as a reminder of pains or disappointments or frustrations. If we will learn to cling to the source of joy, not just in this season, but all year long, if we will learn to cling to that source of joy, soon we will learn to rejoice. To rejoice, to have joy again. Remember, we talked about those two little letters, R-E. What do they mean? It means again, happening again, find it again. If we will learn to cling to that source, we will be able to learn to rejoice. If we return our focus to Jesus, we will find our strength in Him. As we pour out our hearts to Him, even in the midst of our pain and suffering and frustration, He can transform our weeping into joy. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9. How many of us would love to hang on to that inexpressible and glorious joy? We can do that when we learn to focus on the source, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Fourth, we find peace in our struggles. There is absolutely no question that struggles are real. They're not made up. They're not in our minds. They're not our imaginations. Struggles are real. We deal with them in our life. But the peace of Christ lies within us. Even on our darkest days, that peace is still there. The announcement of His birth came at a very dark time, on a very dark night. The angels, when they first came, had to tell the shepherds, "Don't be afraid." They were terrified. They were worried. They were full of fear. Maybe because an angel appeared. Maybe because of the darkness that surrounded them. There's no doubt that they were afraid. They had to get past that human fear. We all deal with it. We all struggle with it. But they had to learn to get past it, so that they could experience that peace that Christ had for them. For the shepherds, they experienced a magnificent night. It was terrifying, but it was magnificent at the same time, with the angel showing up in the middle of that dark sky. For us, the normal pressures and disappointments and uncertainties of this broken world, they cause us struggles and problems. They build fear in our lives, especially this year dealing with this pandemic and everything else that has happened with it. Fear has just gone crazy across this world. The enemy is using fear to cripple people like never before. But God brings peace. He even was called. We talked about this. He's a peace is a person. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And He arrived that night in Bethlehem years ago so that we could have and proclaim peace even in our lives. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That includes us. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." The birth announcement that peace was born. Humans could once again be reunited with God and experience a peace that had not been experienced since Adam and Eve. Peace, or shalom, as the Jews would call it. It's a completeness, it's a wholeness that is available to every single human being, including you and I this morning. It's the peace of Jesus as a person. It's the peace of restoration with God so that we can once again commune with Him, have a relationship with Him. It's the peace that settles our souls. The calm and acceptance that allows us not only to sing, but to say, "It is well with my soul." No matter what is going on around us, no matter what storms are swirling or churning, it's like the coming of Jesus was the eye of that hurricane that we talked about. Think about it. The chaos of the world swirled around and around before Jesus walked this earth. And it certainly swirls around and around and around today. But think of the birth as Jesus, our Savior, as the eye where everything is completely at peace. That night, that dark night when the angels sang, when they went to the manger, there was an indescribable peace in all the chaos that was churning around them. That peace, that wholeness, is what provides our spiritual calm, even in the midst of life's hurricanes. Don't misunderstand me. Those storms will continue to come. Those difficulties, those trials will exist in our life. We know they will. Those winds may even be, you know, howling right now and trying to sweep you away and discourage you at this hour. But if we will step into the shelter of Christ's peace, things in life will change. Our outlook will be different. There will be a calm. Let me assure you that Christ can change our hearts. He can change those hurts and those difficulties. He can change what is going on around us. His word tells us the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That peace will be there for us. Let's wrap it up this morning by talking about finding Christ in our world. It's been a long time since He's walked this earth. We don't know when He'll be back for all of us. But it's that hope, love, joy, and peace that keeps us moving forward. Christ has come to change not only our world, but our lives forever. Luke clearly described His arrival to us. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Just soak in those couple of verses this morning and think about all that it says to us. Think about all the details that were brought together, all the promises that were fulfilled, everything that transpired in those two verses. It was such a humble birth. Such a humble beginning. Normal, as you and I would see it, a normal entry for any living being. There was nothing, they didn't just walk up to a spot and say, oh, look, there's a baby. It was a normal entry into this earth as a baby, as a tiny, fragile, helpless baby. Jesus came as one of us. There's nothing he doesn't understand about us, about our lives, about what we walk through, about our longings and struggles and difficulties. He understands it all. He gets it all because he came as one of us. At the same time, he came to earth as God. Hope, joy, love, peace. He came to restore that long lost relationship between us and him, to bring a renewal, to bring a reconnection, to bridge the divide. Jesus is in fact life rediscovered. It's been a tough year. There's been a lot of things that have happened this year. But when you think about this year in particular, every year, but this year in particular, purposely turn your thoughts back to Jesus. And think about Jesus like this. Jesus is in our uncertainties, struggles, discouragements, and differences. Jesus is in our celebrations and our mournings. Jesus is in our crying and our rejoicing. Jesus is in our fear and in our triumphs. Jesus is in our losses and our victories. Jesus is in our brokenness and our healing. Jesus is in our sickness and in our health. Jesus is in our life and our death. Wherever we are, Jesus is there. And he is working, and he is moving, and he is offering us life, forgiveness, peace. He's calling us to trust him and to see far beyond our immediate circumstances, to see past all this stuff around us to a deeper, bigger, broader, wider, higher picture of work than we can understand on our own. Jesus is in our world and in our lives because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And he's not with us just at Christmas time or for a few weeks of Advent, but he is with us all year long. He will not forsake us or leave us. So let's worship and find joy and excitement in his presence today. Let us rediscover Christmas, and let's do it throughout the entire year in our lives as we think about what that birth meant for us every single day. Christ has come. Christ is here among us. And Christ will come again. From the manger to the cross to the resurrection, Christ is with us. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, in heaven and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests." God came, and He is here with us, and He will see us through. Not 3 or 4 or 6 weeks, not one day a year that we celebrate Him, but all year long. Father, thank You that You came, that You endured everything that You did, that we might be saved. Lord, it is absolutely incredible what You took on Yourself, what You allowed Yourself to go through so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be made whole, so that we might understand love, peace, joy, hope, forgiveness, mercy, grace. Oh, Lord, You extend to us all of those every day of our lives. Father, help us to continuously draw our strength from You, to worship and honor You with all of our hearts, to learn what You called us to learn, and to be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're the source of my strength, the source of my being, and I will put my trust in You. You're the source of my strength, the source of my being, and I will put my trust in You. And oh, when light shadows fall on me,